talking about impudence and liberty. And just, quick count. Anybody that is, not aware or, don't know a whole lot about impudence, 101? So 1, 2, 3, 4. That's awesome. The rest of you guys know a little bit about it, so I just, kind of gauge and see how deep work or how not so deep I go. So the whole idea of impudence is finding yourself, self-realization, the idea that you can become divine from within. And I think this is a very powerful concept. And So why is this so important? I think it's extremely important for various reasons. And I will get into that really fast. I mean, most of you know me here, so my wife always tells me, dude, you need to not focus on you here, for 5 minutes, because if people like what you say, they'll rule you. If they don't, they won't. And having my friends, so I will skip all this. For those of you who don't know, just really quickly, I do consulting work. Basically, what I do is I help people learn voluntarism in the corporate world. And what that looks like is I help them ditch the mentality of command and control and help them adopt servant leadership. That's pretty cool, and we can talk more about that another time. I work with Jeff Berwick. We work with the expat community. I get to interview all sorts of cool people from all over the world. And in hopes that the readers of the newsletter get inspired, maybe to travel there or eventually move and retire. Emancipate Human. There. I provide our healing plants. I'm just going to say curriculum there. Student of shamanism and Austrian economics. And I think it's pretty interesting. So after dozens of interesting journeys, I realized that the universe actually works in Austrian economics, because there is no vacuum. There is always something that has to pay for something else. There is no vacuum. There's always an exchange of energy. So the ethos, self-realization, means that you do not need to look outside for any guidance, leadership, or salvation. That's pretty strong wording right there. Everything is inside and brings about liberty. So just think about that for a second. And we have been bombarded by the idea that you need somebody to save you, that you need to break such and such to save you, or that you need to get some individual, either a man or a woman, to give you what you're looking for in the sense of spiritual awakening, right? So basically you're delegating your salvation to somebody else. So we talked about liberty. What is liberty? Just really quickly, the state of being free in a society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life. So once you're able to achieve self-realization, and this is the coolest thing ever, because it's a gift that you're given, and you're able to see the full picture, you're able to zoom out completely. There is, to the point where you disappear and you're just consciousness, and you see the flow of life, and once you come back, you're like, whoa, that was interesting. And after that happened to me, actually I went for about a year and a half of depression, because shit wasn't the same anymore. I had to literally take SAMe 400 milligrams a day for a year, because the whole idea that nothing really matters, there is no intrinsic value in the universe. Again, Austrian economics.
So, what is the substance you talked about just now?
Oh, on this one was ayahuasca. We participated in ayahuasca, San Pedro, psilocybin, and salvia. Salvia?
Salvia.
That one was my favorite. My idea is that decentralization of religion leads to shamanism. That sounds kind of interesting and woo-woo, but it doesn't. Before I started, thinking about what to present to you, I said, I want to go into ceremony, and I'm going to actually ask psilocybin, what is it that I need to bring about for you guys, so I can be the conduit of the knowledge, of the wisdom from these guys to this presentation, to this very room. And the whole idea was, when you go to a bar, it's BYOB. So what the mushrooms told me is BYOS, be your own shaman. They know I like a little bit about gin, so they kind of do funny things with that idea. So now, what's interesting as well is that if everybody becomes a shaman, then nobody is a shaman, right? That's pretty cool. It's like the whole idea, if you know how to cook, if you learn how to cook, that does not make you a cook, it just makes you somebody that knows how to take care of themselves. So when you are in that concept of becoming your own shaman, you're not necessarily healing people, you know, directly holding ceremonies and all of that. You're situated in a place of self-realization when you know that you are the divine, that you are a little piece of a corner of the universe. And when you do that, you're empowered because you know who you really are. This is, of course, after a year and a half of depression. And when this happens, like, actually something clicked inside of me. The very first thing that came out was like, I am so scared because I know that there are some entities that are trying to keep us oppressed and I need to do something. I don't know what the hell I want to do. I need to go lobby my local politicians because that's the only tool that I knew at that time, right? So I was like, you know, trying to get friends to come with me and go talk to these guys and whatever. But that was just like so much energy put into like a void. Like that never really gave any fruits of our labor. So that's also, after a couple other ceremonies, I realized the whole idea of emancipated human. What ayahuasca told me in that specific one, she said, your mission is to empower others and to be present. What is being present? The idea that whenever you're talking with somebody, your mind is somewhere else. You're thinking about your laundry list, maybe, oh, I forgot to turn the stove off, or I haven't sent that email. Whatever it may be, you're not present. When you're present, when you're in that specific moment, there is healing that takes place for you and for the person that you're with, because they know. And this is kind of funny. A lot of people actually come to me, and they tell me things. They tell me just, like, sometimes I look down, like, see if I have, like, a priest robe. I'm like, oh, snap, you know, they're giving me their sense or whatever. But the idea is that when you become present, people gravitate towards you for that. And you are a conduit. You know, like I like to say that I put my shaman hat on. And you know, I'm not judgmental. I am there. I'm present. Sometimes I put Lisa's hat on and I'm a prick, right? So, like, you can still move between the worlds. And that is, I guess, another cool thing. So just really quickly back towards the religion situation. And I think the last ayah I did, no, it wasn't the last one, it was on 4th, December 2017. I actually asked for her to help me see how religion came to be. So the whole idea is that some people, some individuals have a natural ability for channeling. And when this happens, they happen to take a lot of the karmic group from others. And, you know, the oracle, for instance, all these women that are able to channel these things, and they end up exhausted. So because of that, they couldn't really do a whole lot more. And people saw how they were benefited from that. Or people would give them housing, they would give them food, they would give them money, because that was really important work at that time. So some people, so I was like, oh shit, that's all I need to do? Just kind of free ride? So they started hijacking the oracle positions. And that's when you see individuals claiming that they know the way and they're the only ones, and you have to give 10% of your income if you want to go into heaven, or whatever fairy tale story that you want to tell. So that's how everything starts. And then, you know, coming back to 3D reality, we are in a form of, a lot of times we feel like we are in a squishy, uncomfortable, dark place. And we don't know what to do. We are freaking out. And then we're looking for substances to help us feel better, take the edge off. Maybe we're afraid and we can't deal with life. We all go through stages of life when life is just too much. We all have been there at some point. So whenever we are going through this, we're just going through the motions. Anything beyond that, we can't handle life. So a lot of times we seek for that salvation, for that help with somebody else. Because the whole idea of certain scriptures, they are truncated truths. Mm. They resonate with your body. You're like, heck yeah, that sounds great. There's something weird about it that doesn't quite fit in, but I like what I'm hearing. So you end up going to, you know, places of worship or whatever it may be the case. And that's actually a bit of a trap to keep us in that same loop so we don't get too much out, because if we find who we really are, who you really are, then there is no way they can keep you trapped. They can keep you in chains. So that is the most important thing that I believe is the next step in the evolutionary process of humankind, self-realization. We've reached the whole idea of libertarianism, anarchism. It's getting some momentum. People are actually laughing at us, and that's a great thing. You see Vice spending 30 minutes mocking libertarians and anarchists. To me, that's a huge win, right? We're actually getting these guys spending, I don't know how much it costs to do that video, $10,000 and whatever all the time, just to mock us. That I feel powerful. Do you feel powerful, man? I hope you do. So whenever we are in that squishy, dark, fearful place, you just need to remember and know like you know that there is a process that is going to hit you there. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, because we're so afraid, we break the little cocoon too fast, and we don't have those wings to be able to fly. When we don't have those wings to fly, we just become another, individual that the government can use, that, you know, they can milk us, that they break your legs and then they give you a wheelchair, and then you have to be grateful. Otherwise, who will build the roads, right? So, BYOS is a concept that empowers you, that keeps your power within you. You're not delegating it for somebody else, like a constitutional Republican. The concept is completely the opposite of what we've been given from birth. Now, don't get me wrong, we all need help. We all need help. So the idea that you become self-empowered, self-realized, doesn't mean that you don't need anything or anybody. It's completely the opposite. You realize that all of us are interconnected. That interconnectedness means that you are another I am another you. We all are playing this play of consciousness. And when you realize that, you see that you would not want to harm anybody else, because that somebody else is you too. And anything that you do live, I like to say that it's a boomerang, because anything that you throw out will come back at you. So I have to remind myself that sometimes I have to take Lisa's hat off and put Shama's hat on, because I'm being a prick. And my lovely wife is really good at helping me to get back in line. Like, all right, dude, you know? And maybe you were a little bit of an asshole right there. So I'm like, yeah. We all need each other. The interconnectedness, the whole idea that we can, this is kind of just a side note story. I was on Facebook like we are all the time, and some dude talked about some stupid post and talked about, it's not primitive. You know, some guy's making a house made out of mud. I'm like, well, technically, it is primitive. And I gave him the description and all that. He got so pissed at me, you know, because he was being corrected. And like, it was freaking pages of comments of how I'm such an idiot, and that, and I don't have a Jesus hat, I have a shaman. And so like, all that to say is, a lot of times when we get corrected, or we get some feedback, we see it as a threat, instead of seeing it as a gift. If you give me feedback, I will receive it happily, because I hope that you're in the right frame of mind, that you want to see me get better, that you care enough about me that you're going to say, Luis, you're fucking up, man. You need to step up. You know? And the whole idea that feedback is a gift. So whenever you do that, you're able to see that if you're being empowered, and your frame of mind goes from, you know, being a little bit weird about the world, everybody's out to get me. A lot of people have, like, live in that frame of mind. Such and such out to get me. Or, you know, somebody cuts you off. You're an idiot. Yeah. You don't know if that person has diarrhea and needs to run to the bathroom really fast. You don't know what's good. Like, nobody's really out to get you. The thing is, people are in it for themselves. That's a hugely different thing. Again, Austrian economics. Now, whenever you're not your true self, whenever you're still playing the role without knowing that you're an actor, there's a concept in Buddhism with hunger ghosts. Anybody knows about them? So the whole idea of hunger ghosts is these entities have a pinhole mouth, super tiny, and huge bellies. They can never get enough to eat because they cannot put it in their mouths. That's who we become when we are not our true selves, when we are playing this role unconsciously. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the unconscious versus conscious behavior. But the whole idea is that we will never be full if we're looking outside for that satiation of love, ultimately. Once you get there, you realize that God is a binary fractal self-replicating algorithm. Mouthful. And the universe is a genetic matrix resulting from the existential tension created by her desire for self-knowledge. Okay? What this means is that we're just fractals. We are God again in this 3D world. When we are here, you realize that there's nothing that really can get you. You get to a point where, I mean, that whenever you get to this point, it doesn't mean that life is not going to suck or that you're not going to experience pain or suffering, you know? Like, your ice cream, you're going to finish it, you know? Like, suddenly you're having, whenever you don't get what you want, you still suffer a little bit. Whenever you get what you want, it's going to be over at some point because we're in this time continuum. So the whole point is, life's not going to be all rosy and beautiful, but you can make it so. There are tunnels of reality that Robert Anton Wilson talks about. The idea that our brains are filtering everything, all the data that's coming in. So basically what it does is it deletes, distorts, and generalizes the data that's coming in. And your brain, whenever it does that, then, you know, because of where you grew up, this is kind of interesting. Anybody else speaks more than one language here? Cool. When you speak another language, do you feel like a different person? I know I do. Like, when I'm speaking Spanish, it's like, oh shit, who's this person? And then in English, oh shit, who's this person? So, like, that in itself is a little bit of what I'm talking about. So, something about the tunnels of reality is that you get to choose at any given moment what tunnel of reality you're participating in. I like to say that I like to choose the funnier, the sexier, the most exciting and adventurous tunnels of reality that my mind can generate for me. So, you know, there's always an upside. And I learned to go from win-lose situations to win-learn situations, because you will never lose if you're able to learn from those mistakes. Mm. And I encourage people to make mistakes because, I mean, number one, they're fun, but number two, you get to learn a lot from those things too. Austrian economics, you learn concepts. Shamanism, regardless of what I'm, you know, of the woo-woo stuff, it's not an otherworldly concept. It is tangible and has physical outcomes. Shamanism, whenever you go to a ceremony, you're going to get all sorts of realizations, downloads, and I mean, you'll be able to even connect with some brothers and sisters from other realities and dimensions. That is pretty cool. And all of that is actually super easy. Whenever you get to implement what you learn, that's when your life changes. Some people are living on unconscious patterns. And whether they're good or, well, I don't like to say good or bad, resourceful or non-resourceful, if they're unconscious, you don't have the option to choose. So in other words, I actually was able to... Did you guys watch the movie The Secret Interview, maybe? Okay, cool. So in that movie, there's probably only three people that are legit. And I did a bunch of research on that, and I found one that I really resonated with, Bill Harris. And incidentally, he's the one that has the shortest piece in the movie. So I actually started mentoring under him. And what he taught me is, yes, Luis, you have good resources in life, but ultimately they're unconscious. Your dad gave you extremely good coaching growing up, but you're not choosing consciously to use that. You're just going through life and autopilot. A lot of people have unconscious and unresourceful patterns, and they don't know that they have them. They just keep doing them. So whenever you are in that point, you're in a vicious cycle. Right? So what does this mean? You keep doing things. You can, like, I have so many friends, dude, you would not even realize, they do ceremony, like, almost every weekend, and they keep complaining about the same shit in life. I'm like, what's the point of doing ceremony if you're not going to learn? And not just learn, but freaking integrate what you're learning. If you are contacting the brothers and sisters that, oh, that's kind of cool that I would talk about, from other interplanetary, interdimensional entities, why are you not using that to profit, you know? Like, I mean, heck. So whenever you do that, it goes from a vicious cycle to a virtuous cycle. Mm. And you are able to choose the things that worked from your childhood, and you're able to unlearn the things that don't serve you. You know, like a lot of times when you're little, your mom maybe will say, finish every bite on your plate, right? But then, 2018, United States, when you have anywhere to eat, your portions are this big. If you finish everything on your plate, you're going to be 7,000 pounds. You should not finish everything on your plate at all, right? So you have to unlearn some things and move on. See what works for you. That's just a silly example, but it's an actual one. The whole idea that it's not overworldly. Shamanism is something that you can use in your daily life with your kids, with your partner, at work, and like the whole idea that you're present and you realize that you are an actor in the play of consciousness. That's something that really bakes my noodle a little bit. So, of course, you're not just like, life is not black and white. It's not just unconscious people and conscious people. That's not how it works. It's a continuum. And even if I had received that download of enlightenment, I still have to chop wood and carry water, which is like the Japanese saying, you know, you still have to go to work. You still have to pay your bills. You still have to shower, because otherwise you'll stink. You know, so it's not like you separate yourself from physical reality. You're just not an autopilot, and you get to choose things that are for your better purpose, higher purpose, conscious change. So at this point, you can see the effect of your actions with others and with you. You cannot do something that hurts you if you do it consciously. This is, I was watching a YouTube with the Dalai Lama, you know, Silva Kami. They have some cool things to say. Actually, you know, he says he's a half Marxist, half Buddhist. I like his half Buddhist part. And somebody asked him, how do I quit smoking? His answer was baffling to me because, you know, he would say, you know, meditate, chanting, whatever. He said, smoke consciously. That is huge. It's exactly what I'm saying. You cannot do something that hurts you if you do it unconsciously. So you could be smoking and you're really like, I'm inhaling this. I see how it's affecting me. Maybe I shouldn't do this. And you quit. It's that easy. It really is when you're present, when you're conscious, when you're aware of the situation. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, then that means that you're going to be perfect. No, no, you will never be perfect. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite artists here. Do not be afraid of that. You will never reach perfection. There is no such a thing. Or is there? Always double, you know, double binds. In reality, everything is perfect, with imperfections. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you can think about this as a huge video game, and you are in this, like maybe 5D, playing your avatar in this 3D, and you chose to play, like when I play Doom with my kids, I am that little guy. But then there's a point where you have to know that it's a game, and you're just going to try to do your best to win, and that's it. So, the cool thing about it is that the obstacle is the way. A lot of people say, no, you know, that's an obstacle that we have to, no. That's actually exciting. And that's something that I actually learned from my wife. You know, when we first got married, she's like, I can wait until we go through some difficulties. I'm like, screw that. I don't want to go through difficulties. But in her wisdom, she knew that those things could get us get closer together. I wasn't married. I was like, I just want joy, happiness, money, all these cool things. Right. And like, that's where I was in my tunnel of reality. So that was actually a pretty cool thing to learn. Now, moving towards those effects that you have with others and yourself, karma is a universal law of cause and effect. It's not something that like you do something bad and it's going to get you back. No, I mean it's not like that. Again, Austrian economics, cause and effect. It could work for resourceful things or unresourceful things. As you move through life, you're going to hurt people. You can, like, this is such a predatory universe. You cannot, I'm a vegetarian, I have been for 10 years, and people say, well, what about freaking vegetables? Do they have feelings or what? I'm like, well, maybe, sure. I mean, I don't know, right? I mean, they don't have a face. But you cannot really move through life without causing harm. So the point is to try to cause the least amount of harm possible. Because of San Pedro Cactus, I became an anarchist. Mm. And he actually showed me like my first question, I was already a libertarian, and my first question was, well, alright, dude, so, it seems like a lot of people hate money. What the heck's up with that? Can we get rid of it? So that was my intention going in. I took the cactus, I went into the tent, my friend's backyard. He's my shamanic teacher. And I came out 8 hours later with what I want to say is a master's in monetary policy. It's like, oh shit, we do need money, but the money's been hijacked. And we'll talk more about that later. So that's pretty cool. So the whole idea of cause and effect is you need to be conscious of what you do. And you're going to mess up. Unequivocally, you will. What are you going to do about that? A lot of times we get so attached to our mistakes because we spend so much time making them, so much effort. I'm not going to let go. Let go. No, I'm not going to let go. It's a huge mistake. Just let go. It feels good. It's okay. Start over. Do something else. And also with the whole idea is not to accrue any karma either good or bad, but I like coming back to Earth, you know, just doing the presentation, so I keep doing good deeds. So whenever you are at a point where you receive the download and the enlightenment, you still need to be surrounded by people that are conscious. It is actually unnatural. Whenever I'm doing leadership development at corporations, always and unequivocally, there's only one person on top, and the second person doesn't have enough guts to give feedback to this person. Always. Not always. There's actually some that we're working on that are pretty cool. But the idea behind that is, because people are afraid, all of these guys are getting is just good feedback. Oh, you're so good, you're doing great. And they think, actually, they believe that. So they keep doing shitty shit, right? So when people say, oh, screw capitalism, it's not capitalism. It's people making bad choices. You can do that. I mean, how many people are in communism, right? So it's the whole idea that we need to, like, surround ourselves by people. It's unnatural to be one person on top. In nature, you see that there are impacts. It's networks. And we have different roles and responsibilities and titles and whatever, and pay grades, that's fine. But that's still a network. You're not more important than me or vice versa. We all are working with the same goal in mind. There's one story that I really like about, I don't know if it's fictitious or not, but I read it, like JFK when he went to NASA and he saw a janitor and he was, you know, mopping and he was like, what's going on? What you doing? He's like, I'm helping to put a man on the moon. That blew my mind. The janitor thinking that that was his purpose. So what it helped me see was, it does not matter what you're doing. It's about the purpose that you put into it. So a lot of people think that success is like, you know, the corner office with the highest salary. That doesn't have to be the case. It's your purpose, even if you're fulfilling. When you're not fulfilling your purpose, life keeps throwing you curves, so you wake up from that. So this is pretty cool. Whatever you do with your body, whether you eat, dancing, or you're just breathing, if you do it with involvement and joy, you become a karma yogi. What does that mean? That means, again, what I was telling you, if you're living life consciously, you're becoming an agent of good, you're becoming an agent of the spirit. In life, we're going to experience some form of hurt, and we have choices, and we can choose to be living that experience, and this is kind of funny, and I want to ask you to do this experiment as you move on in life. Things that keep reoccurring, alright? You're reliving those things, whether they're good or bad. Most times they're unconsciously bad things that keep happening to you. There is a lesson that you're missing, and the universe keeps throwing them at you, so you wake up and say, oh, I get it. Move on. Level two. So, in my case, I like to say, I'm an optimist. Mm-hmm. I don't reflect back on consciousness most times. I absorb it and then transform it. I want to invite you to do that too. A lot of times you're going to get people that are like, oh, no, you don't have to react to that. You can take it in. And instead of reacting, you can respond. What's the difference? Viktor Frankl, he was in the Holocaust. He's one of the survivors. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he said that between stimulus and response, there is a gap. The more that you work on that gap and become more conscious of it, the wider it gets. So when something happens, you don't just react automatically. You have, like, even if it's 2 seconds, you've worked on your mind enough to where you can consciously respond, heal, and move on. Because ultimately, those people, what they want is love that they haven't received. So on that same thing, all the dysfunctional behaviors that you see in yourself, in me, and in other people, is nothing more than a desire to fulfill love. That's the ultimate desire that we all have. When we didn't get it and we didn't learn good tools to receive it, we seek it in dysfunctional ways. You see maybe like little kids that are just like, mommy, mommy, mommy. Like, come on, dude, shut up. That means that that little kid didn't really receive a lot of love and attention. You know, he just gets an iPhone and goes off instead of having presence and empowerment. Right? So those are two really major things. We are in deficit, and that's why we're working in dysfunction. And it only makes the dysfunction stronger when we, in turn, react in an unconscious way. So we're reacting, we're not responding. If they come at you like that, what we really need is more empathy, more love, and more connection. That's it. You know, like whenever we're dealing with people that are suffering, and they are suffering so much that their suffering is spilling out of them and into you, you're like, I choose not to take this, and I choose to embrace you. What can we do to help? You don't say those words, right? But, you know, whatever it is that may be happening at that time. Now, people say, well, Luis, you cannot always do that. I get death threats all the time on Facebook, on Emancipated Human, you know, because I don't know why. I mean, I'm a peacemonger. So it makes no sense, right? But regardless, I get them. So, well, I understand. I mean, you cannot always do that. If it's like life or death situation, again, my commie friend said something pretty cool. If somebody has a gun and is trying to kill you, it would be reasonable to shoot back with your own gun. Now, that is actually something he said, and I looked it up, and I double-checked. It happened, and if you know me, you know that I'm always carrying a gun, right? Not because I'm afraid, I just think they're cool. But, you know, he goes on to say that maybe you just shoot him in the knee or something. You don't have to kill it, you know? Just, like, kill the threat, not the person. So, I love this, actually, a whole lot. He said this in Seattle, like, Comedy Central. That was pretty cool. Now, what I was telling you, ceremony, those are my feet right there. Ceremony is actually the easy part. It's going to be tough. It's going to show you a lot of guilty behaviors and patterns that you have. Not in a punitive way. So a lot of you maybe have heard, like, when you die, there is some sort of account of all the things that you did during your lifetime. You know, like the judgment day, if you will. So what that is actually the real thing, but not in a judging way. Basically, what happens is that you get a picture, like a movie of your entire life. And you hear this also when people are dying, these like their life flashes and whatever. So what that is it's a recount of all the things that you did and how you made others feel. Wow. And you're going to feel that too. I actually went through it. You're going to have to go through it if you're going to do this inner work, shamanic work. And I like to say that we are really not going to get pretty close to voluntarism and anarchy if we do not do the inner work. This is the ticket home. We can always be bitching at the state. We can always be saying whatever we want about the cops, which I'm not a fan of anyway. But that's not going to change things unless you change yourself. So what this is, what this means is the ceremony, yeah, you may puke. You may have to do all sorts of, you know, uncomfortable things. That's, actually, I've never puked. I get the runs. That's no TMI. The point that I'm trying to make is, without the inner work, there will be no freedom. Because we're always going to come back to the same shithole that we live in if we're not changing ourselves. Something cool? Insanity. You've heard this before. You can do ceremony. You get out, you're all inspired, and then your mama somehow triggers you because you didn't take the trash out, and you respond in a way that is not cool. You're going back to the same place. You're not changing. So what I want to ask you to, invite you to, is to just chill, relax. I can choose this moment to be different. Even though you fucked up 7,000 times before, this moment is a new moment. A new moment to choose a different outcome for our lives. We don't have to be insane. So I'm being told that we have only 10 minutes. Really fast. Plant medicines will help you realign yourself. It's a gift from our brothers and sisters in higher levels of consciousness and awareness. They've been here for a long time, and they're here for your own benefit. These plants will not necessarily change you. They're just going to present you who you really are. It's a mirror that they put in front of you, and they say, this is who you are. Do you like it? No, do something about it. Because at the moment of death, you're not going to deal with this shit anyway. So might as well do it now and move on. Okay? So just really quickly on this situation, one time I was actually holding ceremony for a friend, and she was doing fine, you know, so I was like, okay, maybe I'll just do my little thing for a minute. I was like, oh. And I was connecting with the spirit of San Pedro, and he was telling me that the whole idea of, like, the cactus, he's in the fifth dimension, and he's putting the cactus in the third dimension as his work. So in the way that he showed me is, like, when you open a book and you're reading, you're getting into the mind of the reader. Think of the cactus as the words that the author is writing. So you're getting the knowledge, you're getting all of it. All of that is in that book, or that DVD, or whatever you want to say, right? So that's how they're helping us out. Like, if you can think of a Easter egg hunt, like, those are the goodies that we get from our siblings somewhere else. This is something funny that I also want to talk about. Thoughts, we all have them. We cannot be without them. There's a misconception that when you meditate, you have to be blank and completely void of thoughts. Actually, that's kind of quite impossible. So what I want to invite you to do is to channel your thoughts, to choose which ones you have. We all are going to have shitty thoughts. Like, sometimes you're going to say, what the hell? The point of that is not to punish yourself from having those thoughts. All the thoughts are also entities that want attention and love. All beings want love. So what you do in those cases when you have those shitty thoughts is, I see you, I acknowledge you, thank you for coming. Move on. As simple as that. If you don't do that, if you just shove them in the back, they're going to get stronger because I want to be seen. Remember that little boy that never got any attention? Grows up to become a cop? That's it. Those same thoughts. Exactly the same thoughts that you're having pushing to the back. Acknowledge them. Love them. And then let them go. Release them. Harvest the ones that you like. Because whatever you focus on, that's going to be your reality. And I should, you know, like my wife will tell you, like, if there's something that I want, it just happens. I'm like, I want some sage. And then some lady is like, hey, did you want some sage? I'm like, oh, thanks, universe. Woo-hoo. Like, that always happens all the time. Like, without, yeah. So that's when you emancipate yourself. You go from one place to the other. Now, I think that's the last slide. I just wanted to talk really quickly about the whole idea of the free market and how this connects. A lot of times when we are in the path, we think that, you know, we should probably not deal with money because it's dirty, or because, you know, like I was telling you earlier, it's been hijacked. But we don't know that it's been hijacked. We're just always growing up and using whatever currency the government, legal tender, tells us we need to use. That's when cryptocurrency becomes amazing, because that is actually free money, and not free in, like, gratis, but liberty money, if you will. It's money that is not issued by any state. It's money that we can trade with. You know, I like gold too. I like silver. Those things that are private kinds of currency. And when you're in the path, you know, you want to be able to help everybody, and you sometimes feel shy to take money because I don't feel like I can do this. I'm a healer or I'm whatever. Actually, if you don't do that, you're disrespecting yourself. You're not giving your I mean, how long it took you to learn what you know? All the time away from family, all the efforts, all the money that it took you to learn, the perils that you went through. So when you're serving, this is something that I see very often actually in the consulting firm. It's like people say, I'm so spent, I'm so tired, I just want to give to everybody, but I feel unappreciated, nobody gives me, whatever. That's when the prize system comes in, because you have your, like, I am happy to help you, this is my gift, I have a purpose, and this is what I ask in return. Now, I do think that, like, trading fiat, dollars, paper, cotton money, is pretty antiquated. It's, like, freaking old as heck. There's got to be some new thing. But there's always have to be an exchange of energy, whatever that may look like. I have a bias, and I think that bartering is actually subpar, because somebody always gets butt hurt. I didn't get enough of this. Oh, you know, like, I feel like my mowing your yard three times for your Reiki is not worth it. Well, you know, so there's, like, clear expectations with currency, whatever is Bitcoin or Dash or whatever you're using. So that is something that I really, really wanted to talk about. And I think we have like five or six minutes left, and I want to open up for questions if you guys have any. I hope so. Not all at once.
Have you had any personal experiences that, like, as far as the entheogens or the LSD?
question was, have I ever participated in LSE? I have not. It will be fun. I don't know why, but I've like stuck with the. I mean, I know that LSE is not completely chemical. It's like it has synthetic
acid because it's like it comes from ergot poisoning, but you can't eat it in its natural form. You have to process.
Exactly. I've gravitated towards more organic kinds. Like something like Aya, several times. We actually, I don't know if I should say this on camera, but we actually fly a guy from Peru to come to the States, so it's cheaper for us instead of us, like, watching us having to go to Peru or Mexico or whatever, and we just get like, I don't know, $200 per person. So it's cooler like that, and we get the whole deal with the same fancy guy. So,
what about salvia? What's your experience with salvia?
You know, I think it's salvia. The question was salvia.
S-A-L-V-I, salvia divinum, specifically.
I want to say that it's kind of cool, but you don't have enough time to work on anything. It could be like more informational, like if you just want to just engage for a minute, like you get a little break. But like the actual work, like I need an answer from this, or you know, like you have to add things probably to it. Just like DMT, like 15 minutes, what work can you do?
Well, I think that, because I used to experiment a lot with salvia divinorum, it's definitely like something that people who love ayahuasca or mushrooms, people who are like seasoned psychedelic veterans, right, are terrified of salvia because like salvia can create a very like difficult, sometimes physically, I don't want to say painful, but very weird experience. And I think it's because in the Western world we're doing it wrong. Like, it's mostly illegal everywhere now, but before you used to go to the head shops and they'd sell like 100x, 200, like these extracts of the plant. And whatever the indigenous people are eating it, what they're doing is actually taking the leaves and chewing the leaves throughout the day, so they get a lot slower of an onset, not this like 0 to 1,000 blast off where you're gone for like 3 minutes into some alternate universe and come back like, what the hell just happened to me? Like, you know, it's a very kind of traumatic thing. So I think that's part of it, is that we're doing it wrong. We're not like allowing the medicine to fully take its time to give you a longer experience to have those lessons.
I think I would agree with you, and like, I don't know why, but you know, I'm a bit of an extremist, so like, you know, I like that like all or nothing kind of thing, so I'm like, oh yeah, well let's do the 7,000x, whatever is the strongest one you got. You know, like, Terrence Mckenna said a heroic dose is 5 grams of dry fungus in the dark. I'm gonna take 7, goddammit! You know, and like, it lasts forever, and I'm like somewhere else, and like, but I learned so much. You know, like, you know, whenever it's over, I'm like,
so with salvia, like DMT, like our body metabolizes it so quick, that's why the trips are like so short. Like it's hard to get those lessons.
Yeah,
if you take like MAOIs and you do the leaves, then you can have like a salvia trip that lasts like 4 or 5 hours, and like just to be intensive.
I'll be happy to learn under you for that, sir.
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate enough to hear Dennis McCaskey last week, and he proposed the theory that the consumption of psychedelics is what eventually took apes and made them humans as they are today. Where do you think we could go with that and the possibilities of intelligence increase? Like some things like maybe hyper speed reading or being able to do math faster than a computer. I mean, where do you think we could go with that?
Okay, I love that question. There are three apples that have changed the world. Adam and Eve. Should I forget the second one? The guy that did math and calculus?
Newton.
And Steve Jobs. Okay, Steve Jobs took a shit ton of acid, right? And all of us had his phone, or at least 90%, because Jason, I know you're here. But the thing I'm trying to tell you is, I actually did a little bit of research on people that take entheogens or other substances for what you're saying, and I was so amazed because so many, like, even mathematicians, like some guy outside of Maroka, he used to take amphetamines, not methamphetamines, just amphetamines. And he will take them every day and just be super prolific at work. And one of his buddies was like, I'm worried that you're addicted to them. I'll give you $500. This was like, I don't know, 100 years ago. So $500 was a bunch of money. He said, I'll give you $500 if you quit for a month. So do you quit cold turkey for a month? And at the end of the month, he came back and he said, I realized that I'm not addicted, but the world suffered because I could not get any work done. I would just stare at a piece of paper, and I was just like a normal person. So I felt kind of a little bit better about myself. there because no substances and all that. But, so the whole idea is what you're saying, yes, like there's so many things. Like I cannot wait until like either technology or antigens can help us be ubermensch, you know? I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I've just noticed too that some kids and parents are
Yeah, like the whole idea, like I've seen some people like, but the kids taking ayahuasca, I mean, that's.
She's not taking ayahuasca, her parents are taking that time.
Yeah, I mean, yes, my 9-year-old is coding games, you know, and he makes some damn games. And I wish I was that smart when I was 9. You know, at that time I was like probably not even able to tie my shoes. I still can't tie my shoes. You know? So, one more question because we're going to be over here yesterday.
Well, yeah, I've wondered about that before where, I don't know, I guess my inclination is not to give kids psychedelics, although, I don't know, it's like, I wonder if you're starting at an early age, do you become Beethoven or a prodigy? I mean, it's helped my life incredibly. Any thoughts like that? Is there any research that is not good at a formative age? Or?
What I have, I actually have friends that do it to their kids, and they've shown me some writings where mom is taking while they're pregnant, and they're little people, you know, but they get like a watered down dose. They don't get like what you and I would get. I mean, that would be like mean. They're going to die or something, you know? So they just get like a little bit just to kind of break the thought process a little bit to expand the mind, you know, think different, kind of thing. And then there's like so many good things. Like they become more loving, not necessarily just like, I mean, we always here in the West, we're always about how smart can we be, and I was just like that, but like, I think that the idea of being more here too, like, I think that whatever 18 inches from here to here is the hardest trek you'll ever do, so it actually opens up a different space, so, I mean, that's really valuable too, and we really need a lot of that. Kath?
I had just heard through Macy that there are some tribes in Peru where, and they start them at different ages for the girls and the boys. I think the girls need to be like 9 and the boys are like 7, and it's a watered down version.
Yeah, that's I've seen some videos of that. So, one last question and we'll go.
Can I just add that comment?
Please.
It's just a resource that I know of. There's a guy a couple years ago, his name is Jonathan Thompson. He has a website called Psychedelic Parenting. .org, I think. It's not about feeding your kids psychedelics, let's say, but it's about like the relationships that you can build with your kids through by integrating your psychedelic experiences or your shamanic experiences.
I love that, and I'm so super grateful. And if we don't have any more questions, hey, wait, come back. if it's permissible, would you all can take a quick selfie? All right, thank you. And we're going to leave like 4 or 5 or so. So if you want to talk, you're free to approach me.